Clagsby Hill. We had a very long, made Norwegian-style sledging.
No, not that.
We battled down, we hit what doesn't we?
Go and find her.
Where are you going, Master?
For a drink.
Okay, you guys want anything else?
Three butter beers and some ginger and lime, please. Six shots of giggle water.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
This snake juice is basically rat poison.
I spent my whole life right here in Lackawanna County.
The drink, I like it.
I know, it's great, right?
Another!
Okay, guys, welcome back. This round is on me, and if you are joining us for the very first time, a doctor, a lawyer, a pilot, and a professor have all walked into a bar. I am your resident physician. No. Let me take that back. That is a position that I am never taking ever again.
It's after hours, and you, sir, are nobody's physician right now.
It'll be a cold day in New Jersey before I am ever a resident again. Let's just call me your friendly neighborhood physician, William. And I am joined by...
Can you tell me what this random lump is down here? There's normally only two lumps, but now there's three lumps.
And the judicial member...
Am I supposed to have four nipples? Like, is that a thing that's
Is it at least in the same line?
Like, yeah. Are they tiny little...
Speaking of cold day...
Or is it two, like one, and then one, two, like you have three on one side and then one on the other, or is it two and two?
Also, one is talking to me. Is that normal? Like,
speaking of cold days in New Jersey and sentient nipples, our resident lawyer, Cody, is
Hi.
And Dallas, our community college professor, and our intrepid pilot turned salesman, Alex.
Ahoy, mate.
Welcome back to the pub, you guys.
Greetings, citizens.
Greetings, earthlings. Come in peace. No, we've got a fun one in store for you guys. Later, we are playing a fan favorite and cast favorite game. Don't get me started. And this one, it's glorious.
Dallas versus the universe, and my money's on Dallas.
Yeah.
Never bet on anybody. Betting's bad, just in general.
Hey, it's now legal in Kentucky.
And so North Carolina. You can now legally throw your life away. There you go, people.
Once it became legal, the podcast that I listened to with dynamic ad insertions, that's all it was gambling on just...
See, fans,
gambling
of the
is
Great
the new
Fruit
Square
Network,
Space.
Listen, we are doing you a favor by staying not that popular because we're not popular enough to run dynamic ads yet. They won't let us.
Yet.
You will never have
you,
to...
Really.
Exactly. We're we're staying not popular. Like we could make lots of money doing this, but instead we're like, do we want our fans getting into sports betting? I don't think so.
I miss the good old days of Audible, Mint Mobile, Squarespace, and BetterHelp. Those are the four commercials of the internet.
Well, I really want to get to this game, so we got to get the show on the road. But first, right out of the gate, let's start with the dailies.
What are we going to call this?
I write for the Daily Prophet.
That's crap.
I want the name of this flying whatchamacallit to go with the Daily Planet like bacon and eggs.
Crap.
Daily Bugle?
That's pretty good. But it's taken.
All right. I know that there are some topics that are itching to be talked about, but Alex, what do you got there, bud?
You know what? Nothing of importance has happened recently.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah,
Dallas,
going.
What...
No. And if Dallas, do you want in on this same daily? Are we doing this tag team? Like, we're just going to do the Troy and Abed handshake now, you know. I don't know if you guys know that Dallas and I are fans of this thing called Fallout.
Are you?
Yes.
Really?
Okay.
Really?
Listen, I'm not going to beat around the bush. This show is...
Go for it.
It's probably one of the best video game adaptations of all time.
That's an incredibly low bar. We have The Last of Us, Mario, and now Fallout. That's about it.
Yes, Mario with the giant turtle head one. And Bob Haskins and that Mario Brothers. I remember that was a great movie. No one ever said anything bad about it, I don't think.
Never.
Never. No.
No.
It was the 90s. Simpler time.
Listen, Dallas and I spent the first night texting back and forth. We were about 4 seconds apart. And so I would catch something. I would type it out in Messenger and then wait 5 seconds so that I could send it to him. And then he would be able to get it so that I didn't spoil anything. It is in the same way that we've tried to take that same spirit of dark because it's the end of the world, funny because it's funny, and just quirky, absurd to the extreme. They have captured that. And I remember when Jonathan Nolan announced that he was going to be directing this, he was like, oh yeah, I've been a fan of the Fallout franchise for a long time. You kind of take those things with a grain of salt where it's like,
I hearing air quotes?
Have you though? When he talks? Right. Were you really? And I'm fairly certain he might be a bigger Fallout nerd than me. So, yeah, it's very, very good.
I was cautiously optimistic. Everything up to this point seemed okay. And it checked all of the boxes without being too pandery. It got close to the line. but then also, being its own thing at the same time. So also, right after the release, a couple weeks, the Fallout 4 game has really gotten a new update, refreshing
yes.
graphics,
yes.
refreshing lots of things and adding a few things. So,
which they've only been promising that for like 2 years now.
Yeah.
So,
so they've shot a stim pack into that one and brought it back to life again.
Yeah.
So, okay. What generation consoles are we jumping?
I wonder what might have caused them to update them.
Yeah, who knows, Cody? What could have caused it? To answer your question, William, it went from PS4 graphics, like last gen, but it was at the tail end. So they kind of timed it horribly. And it's the same with like The Last of Us, how they keep doing these remasters, because like you design a game for the tail end of one generation's max performance capabilities, and then it's like, oh, but there's so much more we could do, and then given some time you can add a whole bunch of new upgrades. So even with like going to Xbox, for whatever reason they added like a 60 frames per second boost, where on the PS5 for some reason you couldn't do it, even though it's the same hardware in essence. So it's just quirky little things that they're improving for quality of life purposes. So,
but everybody's kind of like riding that wave where they're like, let's boost the graphics on this one since the show's coming out. And, you know, corporate synergy. Not that we were planning the release of a certain podcast around any sort of corporate synergy was also happening.
Listen, we've been talking about, we actually had that plan for almost as long as Amazon did. So almost as
touché.
Long.
Touché.
We came out with this and I didn't even know what Fallout was.
I was in utero and I was like big red button and that's how far back it goes. And then some studio was like, oh, maybe we should create a game based on the Wasteland series from the 80s. Maybe we should make a game now. And instead I was like, what if we have my friend pretend to be a floating robot who doesn't, you know societal norms. Do you like my in utero voice? Yeah.
No.
No. Not
no.
At all. Have done it Dune 2 style where I just mentally appear as Anya Taylor-Joy on a desert beach? No?
I understood that reference.
Fine. I love when we break, William.
No, it was a perfectly valid impersonation of what your voice would be.
I prefer you birthed.
Then
as a doctor, is that what you always heard whenever you were talking to babies?
You know,
in
when a mother walks in and the mother asks the doctor, like, I'm having really bad indigestion, and William puts his stethoscope up against the stomach and hears fallout, big red button. He's like, oh, no, you're just, you're about to birth a weird one. Just heads up.
You're getting, you're about to birth a podcaster. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no.
Well,
the gestational period for your first child, Alex, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in that room.
You want to be there for
pre-birth,
right? No,
for you to experience what these moments.
Do you think that I think that babies talk in utero? I do not. I don't think that.
I don't believe you that you don't think that.
Dang it. I couldn't throw them off the scent. Fallout's great.
Now that Alex has been birthed, he's enjoying a falling out. Cody, what do you got?
Oh, I've got kind of a hodgepodge of things right
one.
Now.
You can pick one. I want to play this game.
All right.
Play the game.
No, but also,
Cody, tell his thing. Play the game.
Well, Michelle and I, this is a 4-year-old daily, but we've just now gotten around to it. The Series of Unfortunate Events TV series.
Ooh,
on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Phenomenal.
We just finished it.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, right?
Do what?
No, sorry.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Okay.
I'm Morgan Freeman.
Yes.
I'm not the same as Neil deGrasse Tyson nor Neil Patrick Harris.
It's come down to it.
No! Get back over there, Morgan. Lay down.
I don't want to. Sell, I'm rustling.
I'm gonna have to sell a kidney to pay off this cameo.
I have now listened to every outro till the very end, until it flips over to the next show, just waiting for you to, like, did he go deeper into the cameo debt? Is there an outro after credit bit? Is there? And unfortunately, there wasn't, so.
I'll just keep doing the voice.
I will just say, the Series of Unfortunate Events has been a series that has been a part of my life since the fourth grade, when Jennifer Caldwell read to our class The Miserable Mill, the fourth book.
They're so
in the fourth
good.
In the fourth grade. I read them all from the fourth grade to, I believe, in my sophomore, junior year of high school as they were coming out, following them along as they were coming out. And haven't revisited them in a long time. Michelle went through a audiobook binge of the entire series recently. And we sat down and watched the series. There's a lot that I did not remember.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to have to say, this is the first time I can ever say this. The TV show was better than the books.
Whoa.
Really?
Yes. The TV show had a much more satisfying ending to this story than the books did.
Huh.
Okay.
Questions were answered. Mysteries were solved. They put a nice bow on things where Lemony Snicket / Daniel Handler, in his, like, I want to be meta and, like, buck the narrative and say it's not an all happily ever after.
Yeah.
Left some mysteries left dangling and left a lot of people unsatisfied towards the end of that series. He decided, okay, maybe I should fix some things in this series.
Did he contribute to the screenplay?
He was a producer on the series.
That's what I was just confirming. I was looking it up because it's a lot like how the creator of The Last of Us, I think retcon is the wrong word, but like a light, retcon light might be the right way to phrase it, where it's like,
okay,
I'm still involved, but now with a decade plus of hindsight, how would I have retold something ever so slightly, but it still tells the same story, you know, but how would I have tweaked this?
And it's one of those things where it's like, they told the same story, but at the same time, they gave satisfying, like, they left so many mysteries dangling, because I think the idea back in the day for him was, oh, this is a sort of parody, you know, stories don't have happily ever afters. Mysteries don't get solved.
Right.
And mysteries don't get solved. And a lot of people were unhappy about that. And so he gave a nice bow to a lot of mysteries.
I wonder if Rowling's going to do any of that with the Harry Potter TV show that's coming, because she's an executive producer on the TV show, and this is similar. It's a book series that was developed into movies.
I can
and
just
then they
hear
went
it
back
now.
And revisited.
That's it. You didn't appreciate me before. Dumbledore is now a straight man with three wives. He's Mormon. You didn't like me going too far one way. I'm going to take it back.
So I wonder if it's just an opportunity to, like, there's some plot holes to fill in some plot holes.
Show is a better venue than Twitter to fill in some of those details. But
yeah, her apology tour. Oh, I'm sorry I killed this character, or I wish I would have done this. I don't think any of that will be changed. But so you're saying the TV show better than books.
Wow. Is better than the books.
Well, all right then.
Yeah.
I think it's easily one of the best adaptations I've seen in general. And it's funny because I don't always love Neil Patrick Harris, but his amount of whimsy in that show is just so delightful. Like he nails it.
He really does. And shortly after we finished the series, I was looking up YouTube videos of the original movie, and like I found the original trailer of the Jim Carrey movie, and I feel so incredibly old now because it's like a classic trailer. It's very much a product of 2004, and that now feels so long ago.
Yep.
And I'm like, and I saw that movie in theaters.
Back in my day, we had Jim Carrey playing the man that's the villain.
They're like, Dallas, okay, Grandpa.
Dallas and I were talking about this today. There was a trailer for one of his picks for our next March Madness where the trailer was like the entire movie.
Yep.
When they didn't know how to make trailers. We watched it. I'm like, I feel like I've
was it 2001 A Space Odyssey?
No, actually,
that trailer is just like as boring as the movie. I shouldn't have said what's on our. No, I should. No, please, I'll offend you later, Dallas. it was more. I didn't want to spoil what movies are on the bracket. Sorry, listeners. Screw you, Dallas. Terrible pick. No, I'm just kidding.
This is going to be a year-long war, is what this is going to be.
I can't wait, but no. It is funny that we've already got it prepared this far in advance, so.
I'm very excited.
I wonder what that could lead to.
Dallas, did you have anything else you wanted to contribute to the dailies outside of Fallout? Or
just doing a lot of falling out, playing a lot of little indie games here and there. But that's it. Nothing super crazy. Playing a little zombie.
I did
game
go watch the. I did go watch the trailer to Diablo after you mentioned it on.
Oh, yeah.
The last episode.
Did you?
And I still think it's a travesty that there is not a Charlie Daniels mod where you fight the devil with a golden fiddle.
I heard a comedian. I mean, to whoever can actually figure out what comedian it was that said this, please let me know, because I don't like not crediting people, but
quoting without crediting.
Right. So this isn't an original thought. If you know who said it, please tell me. But he was like, listen, we all know that the devil actually won that, right? Like, I mean, he made an original composition with very complex guitar parts. And meanwhile, you get an interpolation of a few old folk songs on a fiddle. Like, okay, fine, but the devil definitely won. And I was like, you're not wrong. Like,
he cheated. He brought in a lot of other instruments. You can't do that.
In a fiddle. Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't bring like
what?
An entire rock band.
The devil
band.
Cheated.
Who would have thought?
The devil cheated.
What?
Le gasp.
Color what? Me shocked. Surprised. Just flabbergasted, one might say. So, but he definitely won. So
I'll throw a quick one in here toward the end. Speaking of being metal AF, X-Men 97.
You watch your implied language, son.
Is one of the best things that Marvel has put out since Endgame.
Period. End of story. Like
it's X-Men 97, Star Wars: The Last Jedi. Everything. It's new running jokes. New running jokes.
To hear the creator talk about his pitch, it makes everything, it sheds everything in a lot of clarifying light. He wanted X-Men 97 to be the world post 9/11 for the X-Men, the world post Tulsa massacre for minorities, you are in your world of mutants, and then any sort of safety and comfort and feeling of like control is ripped out from underneath of you. And because that's what everyone in the 90s, that's what happened to the world became a different place when these tragic events that affected minorities, that affected people of color, so it's a series that definitely grew up. It had no right to go as hard as it did.
Characters died. I'm just going to say I watched the previewed reaction.
I might watch this never. So I am curious because I know that X-Men was intentionally designed to be allegorical in so many ways for so many different societal struggles and people groups that were struggling.
Xavier is MLK and Magneto is Malcolm X. Like that there's a one-to-one parallel there.
But I know, and it even goes three and four steps deeper than that, you know? So am curious, like setting something after world events almost helps ground it even more. So that might be the most compelling reason
thing
that
is,
I would ever go watch it.
The heel turn in the season, one of those, it's like the world event happens.
It's not 9/11 that happens. It's their version of 9/11.
9/12.
It happens in the season. So that's all I'm going to say. 7/11. X-Men 97, one of the best things Marvel's put out. If this is their audition tape to handle the X-Men, full blessing. Go. It's in good hands. I trust it.
It's a blink and you miss it cameo, but I will bring this up. The Watcher from What If makes a blink and you miss a cameo in like the stars. So it is now part of the larger MCU as a whole.
Well, a Watcher. But that is to significant. Like when the Watcher, when the attention of the Watcher is drawn, you know that it's a pivotal moment. And you saw the Watcher in the stars. But anyways, okay. Well, we got to get to this game.
I can't wait. Don't get us started. On this
we will cut to a break and then we will get started not getting started. I love this game and I can't. I'm so glad it's back. Okay. Anyways, we'll be back in just a second.
I'm gonna go as fast as I can so I don't miss anything.
Excuse me. May I go to the bathroom first?
I gotta go to work.
We'll return after these messages.
Oh shoot! Did I miss the halftime show? Gosh dang it! Who'd they have?
What are you doing in here?
You're in here. I pay for that privilege.
I'm feeling much better now.
Yeah, I'm having an heart attack. Get back to work.
Dallas, do it again.
Do it again. No, it's harder with a beard. It like softens the
right.
Softens the blow.
All right, guys, welcome back. last episode, I wrote it, so I'm very partial to it, but I think we introduced a new favorite that will be making a return to the game segment on A Doctor and a Lawyer. But this, hands down, this is the one that we get the most feedback from any of our listeners. We were playing another round of Don't Get Me Started. Dallas is stretching. You better be stretching, Dallas, because I don't know if you have realized, but it's Dallas versus X. Like after that live show, when I asked your opinion on the Animagus Registry, and you went on that beautiful monologue about how they turned it into a dating site so Animagus could find each other.
He still doesn't know what an animagus is.
This is where you just realize I don't know anything about anything. I'm just making everything up as I go.
Well, don't worry. You get to not know anything about the things that William and I know some things about.
So, In our movie bracket, we may have plotted against Alex to move the Christmas Chronicles as far as we could. This time, Alex and I were the ones in the room, and we may have plotted against the both of you.
You act like we're going to ask you, like, quick, define how to make the economy better and what you would do as president. Like, no, I'm not doing that.
No, that's
lame. It's a gotcha question. No.
If this is your first time joining us for Don't Get Me Started, the premise is very simple. Alex and I are serving as rant masters, and we are going to give Cody and Dallas they're going to get the same topic, and they're going to take turns going on an extemporaneous, off the top of their head rant about this topic. It may be a topic they're familiar with. For hilarity's sake, it most likely probably won't be a topic that they're familiar with. But it's on the spot, off the cuff. They have to go on a rant about us. And Alex
you
and
get
I have
5 minutes or less to rant just for the sake of time, which also makes it hard because if you just start rambling and you hit your 5 minutes, you may be screwed that way. You may not get full points. So,
you may have been at the pinnacle of your argument and you can't resolve it. And, well,
that's the 5 minute cookie crumbles.
And then we will decide at the end who is the winner there. So, Alex, I believe you had the first question.
Yes.
I will let you, and then we will flip a coin to see who goes first. Ready? Okay.
All right.
Call it. Call it, Cody.
Heads.
Yeah, heads.
Hey,
do you want to go on first?
Do you want to receive the ball or do you want to defend a certain side?
I'll receive the ball.
Okay. That's a good choice, especially for the new overtime rules. So, and this question is a very difficult, gentlemen, because folks on LinkedIn can't even decide or agree. But I am going to have you two rant on what is an ideal go-to-market strategy. On your mark, get set, rant.
Don't get me started about an ideal go-to-market strategy.
Yeah.
I have been in many markets in my life. There was that one time that I was in Cairo, Egypt in the 1930s. And I was just spending my days just enjoying myself there. And then all of a sudden, this American in a fedora just comes in and starts making a mess of the place.
Waiting for it.
Yeah. Starts making a mess of the place. All I wanted was my papyrus and my grapefruit. And then all of a sudden, I'm here having to pick up after this stupid American who's just running around. You know, one of the fine, upstanding guardsmen were there. He was pulling out his sword. He was getting ready to fight and defend his country and defend his honor. And you know what that Yankee did? He just shot him in the face.
Oh.
Some might say that he had a cold. But here's the thing. Markets are important. You don't buy fishes in markets. You know, never buy fishes in markets. That's about the only rule in any marketplace scenario here.
Okay.
Ideal go-to-market strategy is if you're going to go to the market, don't buy fish.
Don't buy fish.
Or trust Yankees and fedoras. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, noted.
Okay. Anything that you'd like to add with your remaining 3 minutes, 30 seconds?
I have nothing.
All right. And the good man from Kentucky concedes his time to...
Come on, you didn't even want to do that? Like,
I cede the floor to the other good man from Kentucky.
I yield my time, Your Honor.
Oh, yield my time. That's what I was going for. See, this is why I need you, Cody. Dallas, what do you think is an ideal go-to-market strategy?
All right, don't get me started on ideal go-to-market strategies.
I think we got them started.
I feel like we have gotten lost and have overcomplicated ideal go-to-market strategies.
Yes, yes, agreed.
I feel like as we have gotten older and as time has gone by, we have tried to make it something way more complicated than it has to be because it was given to us maybe a little archaically whenever we're talking about the little piggies. Because little piggy went to market. but it says that, but it doesn't say how he went to market. So we still don't know the ideal go-to-market strategy. The next one, that little piggy stayed home. So we do know going to market isn't essential for every piggy every day. Maybe he stayed home because he's sick. Maybe it's because he couldn't afford to go to market. We don't know. This little piggy had roast beef, so we're assuming someone did go to market at some point.
That's
true.
That's
fair. And it was
ideal.
Yeah. I don't think that they were making roast beef at home. They did
probably
have to
not
interact with the market that they had to go to.
Right.
The next little piggy had none, which I'm assuming is why first little piggy had to go to market. Now, that most of that is irrelevant to the ideal go-to-market strategy, but the last little piggy is where we can assume and extrapolate the ideal go-to-market strategy, because we have the ideal come-from-market strategy. Because this little piggy went wee-wee-wee all the way home, so we can assume that they took the same way to go-to-market.
I cannot wait to post this soundbite on LinkedIn. I am going viral, baby.
They either went wee 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 to market, maybe a whoa whoa whoa, way way way. But we're assuming it's the same to and from. Wee 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 all the way home. First little piggy who went to market. Wee wee wee. Ideal go to market strategy.
Wee wee wee. Ideal go to market strategy.
That is all I have.
One does not simply compete with the brain of Dallas McKenna.
Which is why
may
Cody,
the LinkedIn gods bless me.
Which is why he has a permanent seat and we're going to rotate. That way we all share the embarrassment.
I had a hard time staying serious through most of that.
I'm sorry, Cody. It's not a contest on this one. Dallas, 1 point.
I booked Dallas on that one.
That was a fair. I had time to think about that one.
That's why sometimes winning the coin toss, you can give it to the other person.
So, Cody, you will get a chance to think about this, because since you went first, Dallas, I have a question for you. I want your very, very strong opinions.
You might get them started
on red light therapy.
Okay, so don't get me started on red light therapy. So we have conditioned ourselves to assume red lights are bad, because green light's good, red light's bad. So anytime we see red lights, it brings up feelings of angst, anxiety, anger, and it has conditioned us to kind of have unneeded stereotypes towards red light. Therefore, when lights get together, red lights have historically been shunted and put to the side and have been trodden upon by the other lights, and green being on top way too long. So, we have developed something called red light therapy to help red lights feel better and to come back from the PTSD of watching so many fights and so many just tumultuous events that happened, mostly in Florida, around red lights whenever they get their time to shine. And so, so they've developed something to make them feel better about themselves, to empower them to be the light that they really are. And so I don't know if you've noticed or not, but we've seen red lights in a lot more neutral environments utilized and to let people know not all red lights are bad. So
do
maybe
you think
you
it has something to do with like big light? Is big light to blame for this?
I think so. Mm. I honestly,
or maybe all of the colorists on social media and their discrimination, the hate speech.
So
red
next,
lights. Yeah.
Next time you see one, maybe get to know it a little bit before you judge it by the color of its
So red light photons. Therapy, though.
Yeah.
Red light
therapy.
That's all I've got.
Okay. Yeah. Good work. Good work.
Don't get me started about red light therapy.
Ooh.
Look.
Come on, hot.
My wife is the best. She is.
He's well suited for this. Yeah.
She is a wonderful therapist. Though when I come home to my problem, come home and tell her all of my problems, she looks at me and says, "I'm not your therapist. I can't deal with this right now." So I had to go elsewhere for such things. And one day,
objectivity is good in a therapist.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Objectivity
I respect
is
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely vital. So I went down to downtown Lexington one day and discovered this therapy office called Red Light Therapy. And to be honest,
going more literal with it, okay.
All right. And to be honest, it was a complete and total joke. Here I walk in there and I sit in this room and they told us that we had to wait on the therapist and they just bathed us in this red light. I was there for 26 hours. I had a friend that worked there. And I trusted this friend, and I was completely furious with them that they made me sit there for 26 hours. It felt like I was a part of some sort of social experiment right there.
He's going for a community reference. I like it.
Felt like I was a part of a social experiment right there.
Uh-huh.
So, eventually, my friend came in with bags under her eyes and just said, "Go home." And I'm like, "I wanted to, but you're my friend. And I was going to trust you, and I was going to do what you ask." And I walked out of there, and I got on Yelp and gave that place half a star. No. I gave it a supernova. I said, this place is dumb, it is lame, and it should just explode in a fiery gaseous heat.
That's supernova rhetoric right there. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Yes, like a red giant. See,
how did
red
you
light.
Feel after sitting and basking in that red light for 26 hours? Did you feel rejuvenated? Did the
I felt nothing.
The powerhouse of your cells just
I felt nothing. Anything? Because I am not Kryptonian and I do not get my powers from the yellow sun. I am just a normal human being. So I just felt nothing but cold the entire time.
Man, I am so sorry we got you started.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing there. He knew that if he made a community reference, that it would start winning me over.
I honestly didn't know where it was going.
That's the most Michael Scott thing you could have said right there. And sometimes I start a sentence.
Dallas?
Yes.
As much as I want to speak out against colorists.
Mm. All right, Jasper Ford.
I want that to be very clear. The fact that Cody was being bathed in red light, like
actually
red light,
what it is.
Is actually what it is, and that some people believe that it's a sham, and he left and he felt nothing. That's too much of a coincidence for me. I have to give it to Cody on this one.
Yeah. Well
game
done, Cody.
Good job, Cody.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
And then,
the entire time I was thinking Red Light District, and I'm like, I don't think I'm allowed to go there.
In the podcast and in real life. Yeah.
All right. This one is also going to garner me some attention, and I cannot wait.
Uh-oh.
Which is better, Zoom Info or Apollo? And why?
Zoom Info. How do you spell Zoom Info?
You can't look it up. No. You have to tell me which one's better, Zoom Info or Apollo?
No, right off the top
Apollo.
Of your head. Zoom Info or Apollo, Cody?
Which one's better and why?
Don't get me started about Zoom Info or Apollo. We all know that Apollo is the best. Wasn't Zoom Info the name of the program that the Russians had for their own space program here No, we had the Apollo program, and that was clearly the best right here. If you are a good, red-blooded American, you support Apollo. You support Tom Hanks in space. You support rescuing Matt Damon with an obscene amount of tax money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You support the Apollo program.
Okay.
You know, if I had the ability, if this was Zoom, I would have an American flag background right behind me and a bald eagle going by because...
But why isn't it Zoom?
Zoom info or Apollo. Which one? You're saying Apollo is better. But why
I am saying
is
Apollo
better?
Is better. Apollo is better because it's American. And this is America. God bless America. We went to the moon in 1969, not 1968 or the year after.
But the year after. Okay.
Yes. We didn't go to Mercury or Venus or Mars, but we went to the moon
yeah.
in 1969. So, here, if we... We have to support our country, support our freedom, support our children. Therefore, we support the Apollo program
yeah.
over those commie Zoom Info people.
So you don't feel like Zoom Info and Apollo or even Stevens. You just think that they're, you know, there's a real front runner there? Thank you.
That was beautiful.
I was always more of a Lizzie McGuire kid myself. But.
Wow. You and your blondes. Gosh.
All right, Dallas. What do you think's better, Zoom Info or Apollo, and why?
Don't get me started on these two. So, Apollo, considerably one of the best boxers of all time in the Rocky series, maybe even outside of the Rocky series. Apollo Creed, fantastic. So much so that he was in more Rocky movies than anyone else outside of Rocky himself. He was an all-star great American boxer. The actor that played him, fantastic gentleman. Sad that he has passed. And he made it into Star Wars, the pantheon of Star Wars folks. But Apollo
was
Creed...
Was the pantheon an Apollo joke there?
It is now.
Okay.
Pun retroactively intended.
Yay!
We know about Apollo, and we have seen him, but we don't know about the greatest boxer of all time that didn't make it to the silver screen because he had beaten Rocky so fast. Zoo Minfo, who is from Georgia...
Okay.
The state or the country?
Yes. In the backwoods of Georgia, Mr. Minfo grew up hard, fast, and mean. Had an abusive father. And just, he didn't have any of the luxuries that even Rocky had. You know the scene where, like, the montage of Drago having all the equipment? Rocky had what he had. All that Zoo Minfo had was fighting alligators in the mountains of Georgia. That's it.
Really? That's it, huh?
But that made him so hard, fast, and mean that when he fought Rocky, knocked him out in the first round. It didn't make for a good movie. It didn't make for good television. And everyone knows that Rocky's real, so they couldn't use it. So he actually broke the rules so clean and so fast that he got a felony. Also, he did a lot of meth, so he ended up going to prison. So that's why they couldn't use him. And so they had to scrub any of the footage that Zoom Info had him in it, and that's why we didn't see him in the movies. They actually, the robot in Rocky, they used his voice as part of the mix for the robot. There you go.
Really?
Yeah.
Mr. Fun Minfo fact. Was the
part of
Mr. Minfo yeah. was okay, part of the robot.
Yeah.
Okay.
And wow. That's all I got.
That you know, it's a man,
this
that's
is
a
tough
tight race right there.
Yeah.
That's a tight race because first of all, the Even Stevens reference earns some brownie points there. However,
Charlie Brownie points.
However, that was already made in one of our last episodes. Uh-huh. So it was not as extemporaneous.
No, trust me. It is not far into my consciousness for the We Went to the Moon song. Like,
it's always
it exists in all layers.
Yeah.
Just wow, one man. Sharp left turn of a neuron will get you there pretty quick.
What I yes. love is that I will be able to post this, and everyone will be mad, and no one will be mad for the right reasons. They'll just be like, he doesn't know what Zoom Info and Apollo are. I was going to do Salesforce versus HubSpot, but I was like, nah, let's get the people going. Let's get them.
Gosh.
Ah, William, what do you think?
I'm going to have to give it to Dallas on this one.
When he mentioned Carl Weathers, I knew it was lost.
especially... Zoom Info's
new backstory.
New Zoo, backstory.
Zoo Minfo.
I misheard you when you said it the first time, and I just kept it.
Does he box under the name of the Zoom Info because he's so fast?
Oh, he does now. He
just gave him a new layer to his backstory
that actually bolsters.
Dallas is like, do I still have time on the clock? Do I still have time?
This is a BOB character now.
When he called it, he still had a minute 56. So, no, I'm just kidding. You didn't get more. You called it.
Wow. I got to give it to Dallas. I do.
Yeah, I mentioned Dead Grandpa last time. You know, you mentioned Carl Weathers. It's like, oh, I knew it was lost.
It's not even a draw on that one.
It's like, oh, that's not even fair.
This is the best.
Well, we got exactly what we expected because we got these two started.
100%.
So with that, we are going to go to a break. And when we come back, we will finish out with a listener submitted table topic.
Woohoo! Don't get me started about table topics.
Table topics.
Save it. Hang on. Not yet.
I'm going to go as fast as I can so I don't miss anything.
Excuse me. May I go to the bathroom first?
I got to go to work.
We'll return after these messages.
Oh, shoot. Did I miss the halftime show? Gosh dang it. Who'd they have?
What are you doing in here? During here? I pay for that privilege.
I'm feeling much better now.
Yeah, I'm having an heart attack. Get back to work.
And we're back.
See, a lot of times we do a segment and then it's like, oh, I'm drained. But this one just gets me pumped up.
Just don't get started.
Exactly. Oh, you got me started.
All right. We had several. Thanks for submitting all your table topics. We will try to get through them all over the next subsequent episodes. This one comes from Josiah Kronz.
Yay!
Friend of the show. He actually submitted several this or that. And this one is 3D printer or laser cutter.
Ooh.
Mm. Interpret that as you will. Mm. Like, one you want to get, which one do you think's best?
You know, if you have a 3D printer, you could just 3D print a laser cutter, right? You know, like, that's just how it works. Like,
it's not a Star Trek replicator.
Mine's currently making a burrito right now.
I'm Morgan Freeman. I wish Alex hadn't 3D printed this cage. He would let me out.
Gosh. Why did I have to lay on Dallas. This plate for 37 hours? Now there's this Dallas, cage around me.
You have a 3D printer.
Yes.
Has there been a moment during your work with your 3D printer where you have ever thought to yourself, I wish I had a laser cutter? There has. Okay.
Yeah.
It's even spicier than we thought.
Okay.
Like, I feel like most things that I could laser cut, I could probably print, but not with the speed and volume that I could do with a 3D printer. Like, in order to, like, I can't, like, a, I feel like a laser cutter, you can put a sheet and cut a lot off of a sheet fairly quickly in comparison to how much volume I can get out of the 3D printer because it's kind of slow. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it does make sense. I kind of feel like craft machines for, like, crafty people are just infinity stones to collect on your gauntlet. Like, once you get one and you learn one, you're just like, okay, I'm going to go on to the next one. Because at many, many points with a laser cutter, I think to myself, I'd love to have a 3D printer. And I run into this, I don't know if I'm plugging this to anybody who actually has a laser cutter, but I have a Patreon for 3D ornaments because getting three dimensions laser cutting is a bit of a novelty, and it takes a bit of a skill because you are cutting sections out of a flat piece of material that then have to intersect or they have to assemble in some way to get a three-dimensional thing. Whereas with a 3D printer, the sky's the limit.
You just make the dang thing.
You just make it. And I like the challenge of doing more with little or doing more like doing complex with simple, but there have been several projects that I've had floating around that I'm like, I need a 3D printer for that. That solves the problem there.
I wish I had those problems because I can't think of a use for either a laser. First of all, I hate puzzles. I hate puzzles so much. And so every project that you could do with a laser printer laser printer. Everything I do with this laser printer is just black and white. Run out of toner. I bang it on the side. No, I can't think of a project that I would make with either of them. And then occasionally something like some little gizmo pops up on Reddit and I go, huh, that would be a neat trinket. And then I go, where would I put that? I don't need a 3D printer. I don't need a laser cutter. So I am going to respectfully say neither. And then wait on your cool friends who make something with it to then go, dang it. Maybe I'll just buy it from them.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's 100% fair.
Yeah. Alex, my entire childhood in many ways was dominated by keeping up with the 17,000 zany ideas William has at any given moment. So I can certainly sympathize with just being like, what would I do with this?
One of his very first videos on YouTube is William explaining his cricket machine. So yep. I know he cares about cutting things and I just don't get it. We're so much cutting.
And I made the organization for the bottom of the cart for the cricket on the laser, too.
But what if you had 3D printed the whole cart?
I would have if I had a 3D printer.
I can't think of a reason to own either of them. I'm sorry.
I'm going to say, as I'm sitting here staring at this wooden desk that my Papal Murphy built, the frames that my Papal Billy made for me for my diplomas, half the furniture in my apartment are Papal made, like woodworking, wooden stuff. I got to go with the laser engraver.
I thought you were going.
Yeah, he wants to take all of the furniture that his papa made and then just cut it down to a more reasonable size.
I have often felt like making wooden things on the laser is cheating. I have no remorse about doing it. I will still do it. But
feel like using a drill is cheating over using a screwdriver, auger? Yeah. I mean, you got to use the tools that are available to you. It's not cheating. Yeah. Using your tools effectively.
The one project we worked on together on your laser engraver was laser engraving my diplomas.
We laser engraved all of the text, all of the imagery. And if you would have said, hey, wood burn this, I would have said, you're psychotic. Get out of my house.
Wait. I need to stop for a second. William, what is the name of your laser engraver? What's the brand name?
I have a Glowforge.
A Glowforge. You just forged his diplomas. Cody, are you even a lawyer? Did you even go to school?
Well, I did.
No, it was Glowforged.
I did try for him to change my Liberty University School of Law. I did try to get him to change the chancellor to Sheev Palpatine because Palpatine was a better chancellor than Jerry.
Said no. Revising your own history.
I thought you were going to be like, I would like to have gone to Columbia or Yale or Harvard. And instead you were like, please insert Star Wars reference.
Yeah. Green Day.
And now, I'm not mad.
I will link it down in the show notes for you guys. Our Glowforge is the Glowforge Pro. It's the biggest, and it has the pass-through slot, and it requires a lot of extra stuff around it. They just released one that they're calling the Glowforge Spark. It does not use a CO2 laser. It uses a diode laser, like from a CD player.
Yes.
And it has a cutting bed that uses 12 by 12 material and a cutting window. It's the size of a printer, and you can place it anywhere. And it is a tenth of the price of the Glowforge Pro. That's crazy.
Question. Hand is raised. Question. What would I do with that?
You'd laser cut stuff, obviously.
It has puzzles? Laser in the name.
What am I cutting?
The first moment that we got it in the house, we just cut stuff for the sheer enjoyment of the fact that we had laser beams in our house making things.
You know what? I'm going to just put every sandwich that I'm going to put a BLT on there and just go. Ah, dang it. I cut it into a square in half. I meant to put it in triangle
mode. I've seen people put macarons in their laser bed.
Why?
And toast the top of it to put designs on the macro. I've seen people put designs on the top of pies, on marshmallows. When you get it, you go looking for things to do.
Can we get our logo put on a piece of bologna?
This just...
I would like that, please.
Don't you tempt me with a good time.
This just feels like a kid who has discovered that you can burn things with a magnifying glass.
Can you put ants in there?
I mean, technically, yes. Whether or not it would do anything. I mean,
it is a lens that narrows down a beam of light into a very, very high frequency.
I could do a leaf. I could do a piece of paper. I could do the newspaper. I could do this anthill. But, and that's where it's gone.
Long story short for me, like, the wooden aesthetic, like, if it wasn't a maintenance nightmare, I would live in like a Gatlinburg cabin.
Gotcha.
Like, if they weren't a maintenance nightmare to live in one of those, I absolutely
and the black
love
bears.
An adore. Yeah. Well, you know, you know.
So
and Dolly Parton.
From the sounds of it,
that's a plus. That's in the pro column, not the cons.
She's a national treasure.
You know what?
Several other countries have claimed
his
her
whole
as a national
opinion
treasure.
Is invalidated just with that Dolly Parton disc right there.
So, from the sounds of you. The people who own one of those machines, the answer is the other one. Cody, you said laser cutter, and Alex, you said I'll pass.
On both, yeah.
On both.
I'll save my money.
So most of the stuff I've made has been fairly recreational, but there was my father lives on a farm. He has a working farm.
Yeah.
And he grows like acres and acres of corn, and he has a very old vintage corn planter that uses these discs that you set in it to actually like scatter the corn. And they don't make them anymore. Like, they have been out of production for a very long time. So if they break, they don't have any more, and nobody makes them to buy. And he broke them. And there wasn't even old used ones to buy. So he just gave it to me. And I, like, in a CAD program, recreated it and 3D printed it. So now we can...
Yeah, but that's cool and all. But if you own the Glowforge Pro Macro sploosh, then you could actually put
the Glowforge Pro Macron.
You could put a full ear of popcorn corn, and you could just.
Can we do that?
You just roll.
William, can we do that?
No, you cannot do that.
I will link his video down in the show notes. There is a YouTuber that we had followed called William Osman, and he had a laser that he built himself that he called the Retina Smelter 9000. Brilliant. Like, this thing, he lived in an apartment in Los Angeles that was like 700 square feet. This thing took up 300 of it. Like,
whoa.
Him, and he called his wife his caretaker. Like, it was a whole thing. But he... with 3D printing and with his laser, took the laser head out, put the laser head on a spring that he 3D printed against a speaker to try and use the laser to notch a groove in a rotating piece of plastic to basically create a vinyl record. And it worked.
What?
He laser cut a record into a CD. which is ironic because a laser reads the CD to produce the music, but he used a laser to etch it into the CD. I will send it to you all whenever we're done here, and then I'll put it in the show notes. But it's just something about laser beams.
If you like William Osmond, you should check out Michael Reeves, because he... Yeah. Do you know Michael Reeves already?
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, it's the unhinged idea of creating insane things with a little bit of self-taught technology and... Meanwhile, I would be the really boring either upstairs or downstairs neighbor, like, knock it off down there. Like, stop it. You the guys dangerous are creating thing, vinyl records out of hot dogs. Knock it off.
Yeah. The dangerous thing about dabbling in making or watching other makers, my toxic trait is I never assume I can't do something. I just can't do it yet, which it's a toxic trait in that it's very expensive. Because I look at something and I'm like, I can obviously do that. Let me order $200 in materials to do that. And then you have a craft graveyard in your house where all of your yet to be learned craft materials go to die, which working on self this year, working my way through that. But it's the possibilities that open up when you have something like that. And Dallas, that, when you were telling me about 3D modeling, that I, in my head, you were Iron Man, like, with the cat models out, like in the middle of the air in front of you. But that guy's Josiah. I don't know what you expected from that, but I hope it exceeded your expectations.
Well, with that,
you're welcome.
With that, this is your first time here. Thank you so much for stumbling into this pub. We highly recommend that you give us a follow on social media. Or subscribe to The Peel. That's our monthly newsletter, so we can get you caught up to speed on all
things.
You
can even peel it with a laser.
Exactly. You could use the laser cutter to peel the grapefruit. You just got to set it at the right setting. So, yeah, come check out The Peel, where we get you caught up once a month on all things Grapefruit Network. And considering what we just talked about with our dailies, Dallas and I and some of the other guys will occasionally chime in at certain points. We are going to be doing a breakdown episode by episode of the new Fallout show. So come check that out over on Big Red Button. That's going to be filling in every other week of the actual playthrough.
Cool.
And then we've also got more Potter Plus that's already been... It's like Potter plus plus at this point with how fast you're popping those out. So, yes, the Grapefruit Network is, we're doing pretty good. I'm just going to say, slowly reaches around the shoulder, pats himself on the back. Look at us. Mom said I couldn't do it, but look at me now, Mom. Like, no, I'm just kidding.
Mom said to get a real job.
Well, I have a real job, and it's not this yet, so... Dr. and Lawyer is a production of the Grapefruit Network. If you like what you've heard here tonight, come check us out at doctorandlawyer.show. And if you want to learn more about the rest of our sister shows, check us out at thegrapefruitnetwork.com. So with that, I am Alex.
I'm William.
I am Dallas.
And I'm a friggin' laser beam.
Pop, pop. And we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Are you kidding? I'm working.
All right, I'll be right there.
And grab the movie. Go, 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 go.
Come on, mama. Come on, my friend.
One snapped in two, which was sad.